The Lamb is worthy, is he not? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. Paul writes to the Corinthian congregation, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we're unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death, unto death, and the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." In verse 15, Paul says that we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Generally, we think of the word savor referring to taste. We learn that certain individuals in the Old Testament made a savory stew, and by that we generally think that it means something that tastes good. But in these verses of Scripture, the word savor has in it the idea of odor, the idea of smell. And I hope this morning I can show you what Paul meant, but it'll take some delving into the culture into which Paul had come as he had preached the gospel in other places. And also, I want to use some examples in my own life to help you understand what Paul is saying or writing or revealing to the Corinthian brethren. When I was a teenager, my brother, oldest brother Stan, lived in Hialeah, Florida. And he wrote a letter asking my dad if he could send some sugar-cured meat to them. And that's what we grew up eating, sugar-cured ham and bacon, things of that nature. It wasn't because we simply preferred it. It's all we had. So we got used to it. And we decided that we could buy a hog and kill it, and we could cure it and send it to Stan. We waited until the weather was just right, good and cold, frosty. We had a place where we could sugar cure it. But after we had it curing for about 2 weeks, the weather turned warm. And all of a sudden, we're seeing some 60-degree weather and 70-degree weather, and foggy weather, high humidity. And my dad began to worry. We didn't have any refrigeration, no way to get it where it could be cool. And he began to worry about the meat because he wanted so badly to send that to Stan and Sis because they had written and requested it. And after a while, after discussing it, Mother said, "Well, I'll get some and we'll see if it's good or if it's bad." So she brought some in the kitchen and she sliced some of it and she smelled of it. And I said, "What are you doing, Mother?" And she said, "Well, you can tell whether meat's good or bad by smelling of it." But she said, "You know, this smells old, but I'm not sure it's bad." And she said, "I'm going to fry some, and it won't be long when we put it in the skillet until you'll know whether this meat is good or whether it's bad." So she put it in a skillet, and it began to fry, and after a few minutes, she said, "John, we'll have to throw this out. It's got a bad smell to it." Well, I think all of us have been in circumstances when we realize that something wasn't quite right. Well, there's not anything that smells better than a kitchen with all of its aroma and odors. And then there's not anything that will turn us away from something we might enjoy if there's a hint of foul odor. I remember Western Civilization 103, and we were talking about, the teacher was teaching about spices that came from the Orient, particularly the Malabar coast in India, and all of the spices that came from there. And the teacher asked, "Is there anyone who knows why that spices are so important?" I raised my hand, and she said, "Yes, Mr. Penn." And I said, "Because it makes the food taste better." And she said, "Wrong." I learned quickly not to raise your hand in college. Sorry about that, Troy. But she said, "Now, does anyone else want to see if they have the correct answer?" And someone raised their hand and said, "Because it makes it taste better." And she said, "Wrong." We're all getting confused. And she said, "Well, there was no refrigeration back in that time. They had no way to keep meat from going bad. So they found out that spices like cinnamon and all these other really great smelling spices that we see in our candles and things like that, that really relax us and enhances our appetite for food." She said they couldn't keep the meat, so they heavily used the spices heavily so that when you put it to your mouth, you couldn't smell the food to realize that it was in a state of decay. Now, this is not good. I understand that. Y'all said, "What's he talking about?" You wonder why that the gas companies, such as propane companies especially, why they didn't put, for instance, cinnamon odor in propane. It smelled bad. Well, if you go in the house and it smells like cinnamon, you say, "Hey, this is great." Then you get blowed up, okay? I mean, there's the reason for it. The reason that it smells so bad is because it's important. They add it to natural gas and to propane. Now, what's that got to do with this? Well, what Paul actually says in these verses of Scripture, and this is a point I'd like for you to get, is that preaching the gospel is something that pleases God. And the knowledge that he had of Christ and of what Christ had done had converted these people, and the message that they were preaching was a sweet savor or sweet odor that rises up to God. And he said, not only is the truth a sweet odor that rises up to God and pleases God, but Paul said, you know, that even in a congregation where there is preaching and teaching, that when men preach the truth, that God's people, that preaching and that giving out of the knowledge of God in their mind and heart, it's a sweet smell. And it opens up their appetite for more of the Word of God, because to them, it is a sweet savor. But then Paul said, But you know, to some people, it smells like death. And I thought, that's true. The gospel of Jesus Christ to the people who comprehend it through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is a wonderful thing to hear. It's like a sweet savor that comes lofting out of the kitchen, and we have our appetite enhanced, and we want to go and sit down and eat a good meal. But you know, to some people, the gospel of Christ is offensive. It's that sulfur, that rotten egg smell that turns us off and turns us away. And Paul said, the same preaching will either have the sweet savor of life to it, or to others it will have the sweet or sour savor of death. Let's look at these scriptures closely. Paul said in verse 12, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Now you would think that's great. Paul's going to stay there and he's going to preach. But he had a problem. And that is, he didn't find Titus, who was a beloved brother in the Lord and also a fellow minister. Paul said, I had no rest in my spirit. I was troubled. There was an open door. People were listening to me. I was preaching the truth. They were receiving it. But I had a real problem. I just couldn't find any rest in my heart and in my soul because I didn't find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. In other words, Paul said the door didn't close, but I couldn't find peace there, so I left and went to Macedonia. And he gives thanks. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. This has the idea of a triumphal entrance into a city. Paris has the Arc de Triomphe, which is an arch that people marched through when they were celebrating the conquering of another nation, and all of the generals they'd captured, all of the others that they'd brought back from a foreign place were paraded through the gate. And people were there to welcome them and to congratulate them. It was a joyous time. It'd be like a New York ticker tape parade for the returning soldiers from whatever war they'd fought. Just a grand celebration. And Paul says that our triumph in Christ Jesus, that it causes us in Christ. I want you to notice that closely. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. That is, that our going into cities or our leaving cities, we always leave triumphant. We don't get run off. Paul got run out of several cities. But for him to think of being stoned and run out of a city was a triumphant exit. It'd be silly except for how he qualified it, and that is in Christ. Whatever we do that has to do with Christ is triumphant. And our entrance into our final home will be a triumphant entrance because of what Christ has done for us. So God's people can never surrender. God's people can never enter or exit cities feeling defeated and incompetent and without value. And Paul said, I always feel triumphant in Christ. And he makes the savor of his knowledge. Notice, not just the savor of singing a song or being religious, but the knowledge that is preached by us in every place is a sweet savor to God. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. That is, when we preach the truth of Christ, we have the same odor to us that Christ had on him when he went to the cross, when he was buried and rose again and came into the presence of God as a victorious sacrifice, a risen Savior. That was a sweet savor to God. And when we as a congregation teach and preach the truths of God, notice that he says knowledge here, to know, in every place, it doesn't make any difference whether we're in Corinth, wherever we are, when we preach the truth of Christ, it is a sweet savor, a wonderful, invigorating, encouraging odor to God. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. It's the same odor, but to one they smell life, but the other they smell death. I don't know exactly what that means, because we wouldn't have experienced ever anything like Paul did here unless you had been in cities that had been conquered or captured in because of war. In the 30 and 40 days of battle, when no corpse were buried, from what I've been told, the stench is overpowering. The rotting of human flesh has a peculiar odor to itself. Sweet, but yet repulsive. And Paul said there are people who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to them they're smelling death. And I thought for a long time, how could that be? And then I realized there were two main congregations to whom Paul might preach. One of them was the Jewish congregations that he preached to early, and probably many times in his ministry, even after he had turned to the Gentiles. And to a Jewish person who believed that Jesus Christ was an enemy of God and a blasphemer, someone who was impersonating a prophet who was not a prophet, to a Pharisee who didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God but was an imposter, a blasphemer. If he walked into a congregation such as this and we were preaching that Christ is the Messiah, that he was buried and rose again the third day, that he's coming again, and that in his dying he set aside or abrogated the law of Moses, to that person, what he was hearing us preach, the knowledge that we were preaching, the information we were giving, would be a death sentence. It would have the smell of death all over it, because for a person to preach such a thing, they should be stoned to death, as was Stephen. He was stoned to death for giving the knowledge of Jesus Christ to those people to whom he was preaching. So to some people, it is the smell of death. And to some people, it's the smell of life. To the pagans who came into a congregation where Christ, the gospel, as Paul mentioned here, was being preached, they have false gods and goddesses. And to turn from their state religion to another could very well bring a death sentence. And so they're hearing something that is totally against what they've been taught in their childhood, what they've been taught by the philosophers. all the gods and goddesses, and all of a sudden they're hearing someone denounce idol worship, denounce these as false gods, preaching the true and living God, Jesus Christ. To them it smelled like death. Something that people are going to die for. But then there were others, Jew and Gentile, who when they heard Paul preaching, salvation in the name of Jesus Christ, deliverance from the consequences of our sins in the name of Jesus Christ, exalting in the grace of Almighty God, which gives us free forever and delivers us from the consequences of our own sins and actions. What a wonderful message. What a sweet savor. I'll sit down and have some more of this. It's so satisfying. It's so inviting. So to some, the same message was the message of life, and others, the message of death. Paul said to the one, we are the savor or the smell of death, unto death. And to the other, the savor of life, unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? That is, who can comprehend it? And Paul is speaking of himself or writing of himself here and saying, this is so intriguing. It's so enlightening. It's such welcome news. It's beyond me. And God has entrusted this to the weak vessels of humanity. Such a tremendous message that gives life and saves us literally from the consequences of death. Who is competent for God to place such a thing into their hands? And sometimes I think we get bored with one another, get bored with songs, get bored with the same old quote. Well, we love one another and we love the Lord and we come to church, but it's not that exciting anymore. We're pretty well accustomed and adjusted to it, and we can hear a great message about Christ and deliverance from the consequences of our sins and His coming again. All these wonderful truths that God has given to us, and we can comfortably snooze through it. But you know, if you're hungry and you get near the kitchen window door and you smell bread baking and all the other food cooking, it's not going to be boring to you. Now here's something I want you to get. Verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. The word corrupt here means to dilute. It has in it the idea of covering up, shading over. For instance, if they were a wine merchant, they'd take water and dilute the wine down maybe a third and sell it as the genuine product. And you just name any other profession, this word, corrupt, has an application to it. It's a calm man. It's flim-flam man. They got a message, but they cover it up so that you are vulnerable. Now think with me. Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but we are sincere. We are sincere. We are called of God to do what we do. And in the sight or in the observance of God, we speak of Christ. Paul said, we're not flim-flam people. We're not a sham. There's substance to who we are. Now, here's Paul's point, which is mostly hidden from the Western mind, or from our mind. You remember I told you the purpose of spices? How that food that had begun to take on an odor that was very unpleasant and would ruin your appetite for it was cinnamon and all these other spices, highly spiced, it would get past the nose test. But having been contaminated or spoiled, it's probably going to make you sick and even bring death. What's Paul saying? He's saying that there are some preachers who are spicing up their sermons with, yes, we believe in the inspiration of Scripture. Yes, we do all of these things. And I know when you walked in, you know, you might not have thought that this was really a true church because of what we were saying and doing, but the false preachers add spices to cover up their message of death. It may be covered up by entertainment. You had a good time, a grand time. They covered up the insufficiency of their message and the falseness of their message with the spice of entertainment so it would pass the smell test. But it is a savor unto death. I think that there are many things today in our culture and that can't pass the smell test. I worry, I have great concern for our nation. I think much of what I hear in these political speeches just isn't going to pass the smell test. They're saying what they think we want to hear, not what our nation needs. And preachers are doing the same thing, people. They're covering up the fact that you're having a good time doesn't necessarily mean you're worshiping God. Worship is not for us, it is for God. And we ought to exult in the fact that our knowledge of Christ is laid out simple in sincerity without any spices added to it, so that you can take it in your hands and handle it and take it into your mind and think about it and listen to what your spirit and the Holy Spirit says to you. You ever walked into a worship service or any kind of service that has a religious orientation to it and you look around and think, I'm in the wrong place? You ever felt that way? I have. I don't belong here. Ooh. It's just something. Doesn't smell good about it. It doesn't smell like Christ. If it's not the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, it's not a sweet savor to God. If it is not in sincerity, if it is not in simplicity, if it's not done by those who are truly called of God, in the very sight of God, in the very face of God, acknowledging that God sees every act in this service, God hears every word of this service, God knows whether the message will awaken you to your need of Jesus Christ or whether it will comfort you in that which He has done for us. If that is not seen, and if that knowledge is not imparted, it may become a message of death if that's what you trust to get you into God's presence and to get your sins forgiven. There's nothing like a good meal, whether it's a spiritual food, meat is how Paul speaks of it, and drink. It's how we get our spiritual nourishment When I was a child, I spake as a child. And when I was a child, I wanted candy and all the other things that mother didn't want me to have until I'd eaten a good meal. But when I became a man, I still wanted the same thing, but I knew better. How's your spiritual appetite? Let's stand and sing.
As we sing this hymn of invitation, if you're a lost person, we'd like for you and encourage you to trust in Jesus Christ. This aisle has no magic in the heart. Walking down it for my sake, shaking my hand and back in the Holy Spirit. That's all you get. I can't save you, and no other human.
Lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I call